Hi, this is Mo Oster, MISNY's Senior Vice President for Advocacy. I lead a team of lobbyists fighting for you in Albany and sometimes in Washington, D.C. Next week, we'll bring Governor Hochul's first executive budget proposal, which will lay down the markers for negotiations with the Assembly and Senate towards adopting a final state budget by the April 1st deadline. As many of you know, New York state budget goes well beyond simply laying out how state tax revenue will be spent on various programs. It also contains thousands of various far-reaching substantive policies, many of which are related to healthcare. One point to watch is whether Governor Hochul's budget contains the volume of non-financial but substantive policy items that her predecessor's executive budgets contained. This had been a major point of concern for the state legislature, who often negotiated to remove these non-financial items from the state budget to be dealt with after budget on a standalone basis. Another point that we are watching is whether all the items mentioned either in Governor Hochul's State of the State speech or her accompanying policy book that were released last week will be included in the executive budget. As reported last week, her speech and policy book included a number of initiatives to address our extraordinary but weary healthcare system, including new funding for training and retention programs like expansion of funding for the Doctors Across New York Loan Repayment Program, programs such as requiring payment parity between services delivered via telehealth and in-person, and proposals to increase New Yorkers' eligibility and coverage levels for various health insurance programs like the Essential Plan, the Child Health Insurance Program, and postpartum Medicaid coverage. However, her policy book also articulated support for items where MISNY has clearly opposed, such as making permanent the pandemic rule that eliminated otherwise applicable required collaborative arrangements between nurse practitioners and physicians practicing in the same specialty. On that front, please be sure you respond to the survey MISNY sent out this week to physicians, evaluating the effectiveness or concerns with the pandemic-era rules waiving required collaboration or supervision of various advanced care practitioners. The governor's policy book also indicated support for other items where MISNY has previously raised concerns, like the Interstate Medical Licensure Compact, whereby a physician who is licensed in one state can more simply become licensed in another state that participates in the compact. While the compact is supported by the AMA and participated in by 30 states, including New Jersey joining this week, MISNY has raised concerns because of the possibility that health insurers could seek to meet network adequacy requirements through telehealth arrangements with out-of-state physicians, as well as concerns expressed by some that the requirement to be board certified to waive into another state could empower specialty boards to maintain and further impose burdensome maintenance of certification requirements. With these issues and so many more on the horizon, we are urging physicians to put aside Tuesday, March 8th, to plan to participate in MISNY's Physician Advocacy Day, where physicians will hear from legislative leaders and key committee chairs in the morning, and then have visits with their local elected officials in the afternoon. Like last year, the program will be held virtually through Zoom, given the stark increase in COVID cases, and the very limited ability to get into the legislative office building and the state capitol. Please look to MISNY eNews and the MISNY website for more information regarding where you can register. I also want to remind physicians about the section on MISNY's website where they can find more information regarding the requirements of the federal No Surprises Act that took effect New Year's Day. There are several new requirements for which physicians need to be aware, including sharing with patients a model notice that details patients' protections against balance billing or surprise medical bills, requirements to provide your uninsured or self-pay patients with a good faith estimate of charges before providing healthcare services, and providing periodic updated practice information to health insurers with whom you participate so they in turn can meet their requirements to provide enrollees with updated provider directory information. The MISNY webpage includes the model notice form and a compliance toolkit from the American Medical Association. Now, There continues to be litigation that was filed by the AMA and the Texas Medical Association that Misney has joined, challenging one aspect of the No Surprises Act relating to the manner by which the independent dispute resolution process for non-state regulated claims will consider various data points in arriving at a fee decision. However, these lawsuits do not impact the 99% of the new law's requirements that must be followed now. Turning to upcoming CME events, please put on your calendar Wednesday, January 19th, next Wednesday, at 7:30 a.m. for a combined Medical Matters and Veterans Matters program entitled Military Involvement in COVID Response and the Impact of COVID-19 on Veterans, with Dr. Frank Dowling as faculty. Please also remember to go to Misney's CME site, cme.misney.org, for a litany of recorded educational content. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to this podcast and for your commitment to Misney, your county medical society, and your patients. We will speak again next week.